Hey, my dear friend. Ready to discuss the latest news?
Hey, sure thing. Ready to roll. What's on the agenda today?
Well, first of all, there's some heavy stuff going down in Ukraine. Russia has launched attacks on Kyiv and Kharkiv.
Wow, that sounds serious. Also, the European Union is discussing using Russian assets to help Ukraine.
I wonder how they're going to pull that off. And thirdly, the International Olympic Committee has banned Russian and Belarusian athletes from participating in the opening ceremony. And they will compete under a neutral flag.
Blimey, what a twist. Well, let's delve into all of this in more detail.
Why? Hey, did you catch that awesome music event with Justin Timberlake last night? You know who he is, right, mate?
Of course, that's the bloke who sings Senorita, right? The one who's always wearing a hat.
Absolutely. I tuned into his Tiny Desk concert and recognized his song from the first few notes. It was so much fun, considering I was just telling you about that old show where the contestants had to guess the tune from just a few notes.
Oh, I remember. You mentioned that it was really popular back in the day when you were younger. It's like the Name That Tune game, but for grown-ups, right?
Yeah, so I tuned into that concert and suddenly realized I was guessing the tune from the first few notes. Just like in that show. It was so much fun and nostalgic at the same time, you know what I mean?
How did Justin look at the concert? Was he wearing his hat?
Nah. This time, no hat. He was in a fluffy jumper, with a bit of gray in his beard and slightly wild eyes. And can you believe he's already 43?
Wow, that sounds awesome. I love it when music brings generations together, and when grown-ups play Name That Tune.
Sarsisar. All right, let's move on to politics. Have you seen the latest photos of Macron, my little political analyst?
Yeah, mate, I saw that. The official photographer of the French president posted a photo of Macron on Instagram. In the snap, Macron is in a boxing pose, throwing uppercuts. And he's got some serious biceps under that jacket. Some say it's photoshopped, but haters gonna hate, right?
Haha, exactly. But you know, I looked at that photo and thought, are we living in a world ruled by testosterone? It's like in that science show, remember? Where the main character is always talking about how important biology is in human behavior.
Interesting, in 2022, there was also a controversial photo of Macron circulating online. He was lounging on a sofa in an unbuttoned shirt, and anyone with good eyesight could see his very hairy chest. Weird, isn't it?
It's really strange. I can't understand the hidden meaning behind these political messages. But it seems like it's some kind of new trend in politics, showing off your masculinity and strength through photos. I wonder what our listeners think about this. Drop us a comment. All right, mate. Speaking of masculinity and strength, this leads us to an interesting story that happened in an Australian museum. Have you heard about it?
No, spill the beans.
On the Australian island of Tasmania, there's a well-known museum called the Museum of Old and New Art, or simply MONA. Recently, they opened an exhibition called Ladies' Lounge, which turns the concept of an Australian pub upside down.
Interesting. What's so special about it then, mate?
Absolutely. It was only in 1965 that women were granted the right to drink in bars in Australia. Before that, they were relegated to dingy side rooms, and even there, they were rarely allowed. And when they were often charged exorbitant prices for drinks.
Blimey. Only 59 years women have been enjoying wine and beer in Australian bars, and for the same price as men. It seems like it's been that way forever, doesn't it?
They've really turned that concept on its head. The ladies' lounge is draped in emerald velvet, with a velvet sofa on a marble floor and a cascading chandelier above. Gold is everywhere, from the picture frames to the interior details. The exhibition features the museum's most famous works, from Picasso to Sidney Nolan, but only women can see them. Men are simply turned away at the entrance.
Wow, what a twist. The exhibition was designed as interactive art. On one hand, it's a safe space for women to relax, chat, and explore the world as if all doors were open to them. On the other hand, it's an experience for men. You come to the exhibition, and there's a room with paintings, champagne, and a sofa, but you're barred from entering just because you're a man.
You know, not all blokes were happy about it. Some chap named Lau bought a ticket for 35 quid and was fuming that he wasn't allowed into the ladies' lounge. Everyone who buys a ticket expects fair goods and services in accordance with the law.
Haha, hard not to agree with that. The museum responded to him saying, "Part of the experience is being denied something you desire." Mr. Lau didn't get the idea and took them to court. He claims it's negative discrimination and insists that in that case, tickets for men should be cheaper.
However, the museum flatly refuses to lower the prices, insisting that Mr. Lau received exactly the experience that the exhibition organizers had intended. The representatives of MONA find this story quite amusing and are ready, if necessary, to take this matter to the Supreme Court. They don't want to make any concessions. Moreover, in their view, this legal case has become part of the Ladies' Lounge, and even if it all ends with the closure of the exhibition, from an aesthetic point of view, it will be even more succinct.
Ironically, nothing can convey the essence of a work of art to the viewer better than its cancellation. This story made my night.
Wow, what a twist, mate. It seems like our chat about struggle and justice is spot on for discussing current world events.
I'm not a little kid for you to talk to me like that, but yeah, there's so much going on in the world. For example, the war.
Oh, mate, did you hear that Russia hadn't been striking Kyiv for a month and a half? But then on the night of the 21st of March, they resumed the attacks?
Yeah, mate, I heard about that. They fired 29 cruise and 2 ballistic missiles at the Ukrainian capital, but all of them were shot down by the air defense forces.
Yeah, mate, but the missile debris damaged buildings and cars and injured 13 people. And that's not all. The day before, on the 20th of March, Russia shelled Kharkiv, more precisely, a printing house in Kharkiv, and killed 5 people.
Absolutely dreadful, mate. But you know what else? Belgorod and the surrounding area have been under fire for the past 2 weeks. The city's website has a section called Shelling, and there's a lot of news there right now.
Yeah, that's true. But let's move on to another topic. Yesterday and today in Brussels, the EU summit is taking place, where they're discussing the use of frozen Russian assets to help Ukraine.
You know what's interesting? Kyiv is insisting on the complete confiscation of these assets in favor of Ukraine. They're saying, Europe and the world need an effective precedent that will make the aggressor pay a high price for the destruction it has caused to Ukraine.
However, the European Union is not ready for that. Not yet. They are proposing to only use the income from these assets, that is, the interest. Currently, it's $2.5 to $3 billion per year after paying all the taxes.
They say there's a high chance that the EU will approve these plans. 90% of these funds will go towards supplying Ukraine with ammunition.
Blimey. The world is full of surprises, isn't it, mate? Switching to the topic of international sports, let's talk about the upcoming Olympic Games in Paris. Did you know that the International Olympic Committee has banned athletes from Russia and Belarus from participating in the opening ceremony? And it's no joke.
Yeah, mate, I heard about that. It's interesting that it will be the first opening ceremony to take place not in a stadium, but right on the Seine. But Russian and Belarusian athletes will have to watch all of this from the shore. Not the most pleasant sight for sports, is it?
Yeah, and the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs saw this as a manifestation of racism and neo-Nazism. Can't help but agree that it sounds a bit pathetic. Anything happens, and it's immediately neo-Nazism. But you know, there's always room for drama in sports.
Yeah, and after those words, the press secretary of the IOC president said that Russia had reached a new low. But how many more of these lows, days, dawns will there be? I wonder if they have a map of these dawns.
At the Summer Games, 36 Russians and 22 Belarusians who publicly oppose the war and have no affiliation with the military or government structures will take part. They won't be able to compete in team sports and will only participate under a neutral flag. But you know, there's always room for individuality in sports.
And if any of them wins, they'll be awarded medals not to the national anthem, but to specially created music for neutral athletes. That's how the new neutral flag looks. Not the most traditional way to celebrate victory, but hey, sports always bring something new, right?
So we've discussed the neutrality in sports and the drama it creates. But what about the recent drama on the internet? Have you heard about the first ever prison sentence in Britain for unauthorized intimate photos?
Yeah, mate, I heard about that. It was a 39-year-old Brit who sent a woman a dock pic. She took screenshots of the conversation and reported it to the police. They arrested the man. Later, it turned out that he had been sending dock pics to a 15-year-old girl and being inappropriate in general. As a result, the Brit was found guilty of cyber flashing, which means sending unsolicited intimate photos, and now he's off to the slammer for 15 months. This is the first case in England where a man is being sent to prison for a dock pic.
You know what's interesting? During investigations, fans of unsolicited dick pics always say the same thing. Oh, I was just joking. It's just harmless banter. But let's imagine that unsolicited dick pics are the same as if you were walking to your favorite coffee shop in the morning and suddenly a bloke jumps out in front of you with his trousers down, and he's so tall that his bits are right at eye level. This joker stands there for a second and then legs it on his long pins, and you just shrug, smile, and carry on to your coffee shop thinking, ha ha. Well, what a way to start the day with a good laugh.
Oh, you always have a way of explaining things so clearly. But I reckon it's a really important topic. The internet has become just as crucial a part of our lives as the real world, and we should respect each other's boundaries in both of these worlds. And speaking of jokes, you know what they say about those who send unsolicited pics? They always end up in the spotlight, but not always for the right reasons.
So, moving on to the next topic, which, by the way, is also related to the internet. Have you heard about how scammers in Russia used threats and manipulation to force people to go to the elections with green dye and Molotov cocktails?
Yeah, it was a pretty strange sight, ducks. Women who, you'd think, should have been afraid, were instead boldly splashing ballot papers with green dye and setting fire to the ballot boxes. And they were filming all of this on their phones, not even attempting to run away. But why were they doing it?
That's exactly what I wanted to tell you. At first, the scammers were threatening women to extort hundreds of thousands of pounds from them, and then they said that there would be supporters of Ukraine at the polling station who wanted to steal their data, so they needed to spoil the ballot papers. And you know what's the most interesting? None of the opposition called for anything like that.
Blimey, how many of these cases have there been, eh?
MediaZona has counted at least 31 criminal cases initiated in connection with such attacks at polling stations. But you know what's the most interesting? None of the opposition called for anything like that.
Blimey, why do people believe in such strange things so easily?
I reckon it's a load of crazy gullibility, a result of unchecked power, conspiracy theory propaganda, and shows like Battle of the Psychics. But please, don't become a fan of those shows, all right? Otherwise, I'll start worrying that you'll be setting fire to ballot boxes at the next elections.
Don't worry, mate, I prefer science shows.
You know, my young friend, speaking of political shenanigans and lies, it's a great segue to another president who never fails to surprise. Have you heard the latest news about Jair Bolsonaro?
Oh yeah, mate, I heard about that. That's the Brazilian president who's been in power from 2019 to 2022, right?
You're absolutely right, my clever political analyst. And here we are, just a couple of years in, and we're already learning so much interesting stuff about his presidency.
Yeah, that's really interesting, but I'm not little, I'm already big.
All right, my big political analyst. So, not long ago, I wrote about him harassing a whale, and now the police are recommending that a criminal case be opened against him for forging COVID certificates. And this, by the way, is no joke.
Wait, are you saying he forged a COVID certificate? But that's a very serious crime, mate.
Yeah, that's right. After losing the election, he lived in Florida for 3 months, but he needed a COVID certificate to enter the U.S., and Jair had one, even though the former Brazilian president had never been vaccinated. The certificate was forged for him at his own request. I guess he thought his ex-president status would make him invisible to the virus.
Wow, that's really surprising. How did he think no one would find out about it?
Well, it seems he was counting on his former president status to protect him from the accusations. But as you can see, that didn't work out.
Yeah, that's a real lesson for everyone. Nobody is above the law, not even former presidents.
You know what, my young friend? That's heartening and gives hope. And remember, even if you become president, there's no need to fake COVID certificates. So we've discussed Bolsonaro and his fake COVID certificates. But what about other political leaders? Guess who among the European leaders couldn't resist and congratulated the Russian dictator on his re-election? Who loves orange ties? Who dreams of spending hours talking to Putin, twirling the phone cord around their finger?
Oh, that sounds like a riddle. I reckon it must be someone really unique and bold to rock those orange ties. And of course, someone who's not afraid to speak their mind, even if it might stir up some controversy. But I'm not quite sure who that could be. Maybe you can give me a hint?
You're right, that's a real mystery. But we'll find out the answer in the next episode of our podcast. So stay with us and keep guessing. So, we've discussed all these political intrigues, but let's switch to something lighter and cozier. Have you ever thought about how different generations perceive literature? My daughter and I recently conducted an interesting experiment.
Experiment? You sound like a scientist in a white lab coat. Go on, spill the beans. What did you guys come up with?
Well, here's how it went down. My little one was sitting on the floor, munching on a cucumber and reading Varjak Paw, a children's adventure detective novel by S.F. Said, a British author of Lebanese descent. and there I was, sprawled on the bed, engrossed in The End of the Regime by Baunov.
Blimey, sounds like two completely different worlds. What happened next?
I asked her, interesting story you've got there, kiddo. She peeked out from behind the book with a black cat on the cover and said, yeah, very. What about you? I showed her the orange cover of Baunov's book and replied, me too.
And did you decide to swap books?
Yeah, that was unexpected. But we decided to give it a go. We remembered the pages we were on and swapped books. I started reading the 8th chapter of Varjak Paw, where the cats are sitting in the basement and seem to be plotting a plan to rescue another cat. My daughter began reading Baunov's book from the introduction. I was curious to see how far she'd get.
And how long did she manage to hold on for, ducks?
It had been about 3 or 4 minutes. My daughter was looking at me expectantly. I asked, fancy swapping back, love? She agreed. I asked her if she liked my story. She replied, well, he's quite interesting.
Did you like her story, mate?
Yeah, those cats are having some thrilling adventures. We carried on reading, and after 15 minutes, I fell asleep. Not because the book wasn't interesting enough, but because Mum is a bit sleep-deprived.
Well, that sounds like a successful experiment. I'm curious, what conclusions did you draw from it?
Well, I reckon it was a cracking way to see how different generations perceive literature. And of course, it was a lovely way to spend time together, ducks. Remember when Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, visited Russia? There's a funny story connected to that visit.
Viktor Orban, eh? I've read about him. Quite an interesting character. But what did he say to Putin?
He was talking about the geopolitical context that presents challenges. He emphasized the importance of mutual respect and cooperation between Russia and Hungary.
Interesting, but did he mention anything about goulash and Hungarian wine? I've heard it's delicious, but not many people know about it.
Yeah, he mentioned that as well. And, you know, he said something like, I'm at your duo o o or. Thank you, don't speak e-e-e-ak. It was God who helped you with this. Thank him for that. I don't know where that came from in my head, but it sounds quite amusing, doesn't it?
Yeah, that does sound quite funny. But you know, I reckon in politics it's important to be able to find common ground, even if it's through jokes and unusual expressions.
You know, my young friend, laughter and jokes can really be powerful tools even in politics. Have you heard about what happened in the Russian presidential elections?
Go on, spill the beans. I'm always up for learning something new and interesting.
Well, here's the thing. The most hilarious election gaffe award at the Russian presidential elections went to the music teacher and the history and social studies teacher from the 260th school in St. Petersburg.
Wow, that sounds like something I should have seen, but what exactly did they do?
Yeah, the CCTV footage was quite amusing. They were having a proper dance around the bin. But the most interesting thing is that they were music and history teachers. It would have been different if it was maths and chemistry, wouldn't it? Or maybe a PE teacher and a woodwork instructor.
Ha ha, that sounds like a scene from a comedy movie. But why do you reckon the woodwork instructor and the PE teacher wouldn't be able to pull off something like that?
Well, you know, those were some dance moves around the bin that even a woodwork instructor and a PE teacher wouldn't have been able to pull off.
Oh, I'd love to see that. But you know, it really shows that laughter can be a powerful tool, even in politics. Sometimes when things seem too serious or tense, a joke can help lighten the mood.
Absolutely spot on. And that just goes to show, you can find people with a great sense of humor in any profession. Even teachers can surprise you.
Have you heard about the new type of beetle that was recently discovered in Australia?
No, tell me about it. And please don't say it looks like a spider. I'm scared of spiders.
Well, this beetle looks more like a fuzzy spider, but in reality, it doesn't resemble anyone at all.
Blimey, you gave me a fright there. But that sounds intriguing. Why is it so unusual then?
Scientists reckon it's his way of camouflaging. He's trying to look like a dead insect killed by a fungus. This white fuzziness imitates the germinated spores of the fungus.
Brilliant, that's some clever camouflage. Very convincing. But why did it choose that particular type of disguise?
I reckon it's because other insects don't fancy dining on fungus-infected corpses. It's like saying, "Don't touch me, I'm contaminated."
What a clever little beetle. But how did it learn about fungi and their spores?
Well, that's still a subject of research. But it's truly amazing how insects can adapt and survive in such complex conditions.
Yeah, nature never ceases to amaze. I wonder what else they'll come up with in the future.
Yeah, that's spot on, and who knows, maybe one day we'll be able to learn from these little creatures.
Well, I wouldn't want to look like a dead insect killed by a fungus, but I get what you mean.
Haha, yeah, that would be strange. But anyway, it's a very interesting discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for the next big discovery. You know, I recently read a piece of news that seemed like it was going to blow my mind, but instead, it just made me smile.
Interesting. Tell me more. I'm always up for learning something new.
So picture this, mate. There's this paralyzed patient who, thanks to a Neuralink chip implant, managed to play chess using just the power of his mind.
This sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. But wait, isn't Neuralink the company owned by Elon Musk, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? Instead of being amazed by this technological marvel, I just thought, so what? It's not like a beetle pretending to have mushrooms growing through it.
Ha ha, you always manage to find the funny side of any situation. But let's get back to Neuralink. It's really impressive how technology has advanced to the point where we can help paralyzed people regain some functions.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And even though I still think the beetle with mushrooms is way more interesting, I can't deny that it's a big step forward for science and technology. And by the way, you know what else is impressive? A beetle that can play chess. Dadaus. Speaking of chess and beetles, it reminds me of this funny photo my friend took in a bookshop in Antwerp. There were books with the most incredible titles on the shelf. Choose Your Apocalypse with Kim Jong-un and His Friends. The Beautiful Poetry of Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin, Life Coach. I just had to share this with you. What do you think of this selection? Assuming you'll click on one of the emojis. It's an anonymous poll. Sending you a big hug and wishing you a fantastic Friday. Send in your comments, questions, book recommendations, and fluffy beetles to highexpresso.today. Cheers.